Heavenly Father, Lord, we come once again, Lord, that we might partake of that great supply. Lord, that you might feed us on the unfailing word of the body, the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Lord, that you would draw us unto you. Lord, that you would bless each one, your bride around the world. Those, Lord, that are not able to be here tonight, that you would be with them, strengthen them, guide them. Lord, give them the leading in all things, Lord, as you are fully in control of every life, every heart, every soul. Lord, we commit the service to you now, asking that you would lead us and guide us in all things. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. We just thank God for his mercy and grace. We want to... Sorry about that. I'll turn it off every once in a while. And then I always wondered if he's going to know if I forget to turn it back on. Is that going to mess up, or he's going to know it, but he knows. So we thank God for that. So we greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here tonight, and we thank God for the privilege, for the opportunity that we have. Now we are missing some tonight. We're missing Sister Juanita, and she usually lets me know where she is. So we want to remember her in prayer. Yeah. And then Brother Gomba told me that he might be coming in late, and he might not make it. I don't know, but I know that he's helping somebody, and so we want to remember him. We also want to remember Sister Esther and the family there. That the Lord will be with them and during this time. And so I want to ask you also to be in prayer for us. Brother Gumba and I will be going to Raleigh on Friday to see Brother Henry in the hospital. And I think most of you remember him. He came down, I think, the first time or two. And when we went there to Raleigh, we had the first services we went to was in his home. And so there was also some other believers there, some brother from family from Congo. And then there was Brother Moengi and his family and different ones. They had a pretty good gathering now. And now since then, they've kind of dispersed. And so we're hoping that we can encourage Brother Henry to come back around. And we want to see him healed. So we ask you to be praying for him in that situation. And then for Brother Moengi, we also hope that we'll get to see him while we're there. If we could get both of them at the same time, that would be good. And we'd love to see Brother Moengi come back to the message. He's preaching. He feels like he's preaching the Bible. But without the revelation from the prophet, we don't know the Bible. We're doing the best we can. We can go out and we can just read the scriptures, and we can say what we think it means. We can take it literally and say, this is what it says. And we'll be telling the truth. But it don't mean we have a revelation. And so the whole message, the whole Bible is a revelation. It's a mystery given to us by God. It's been given to his people from all the way from Genesis. And so that's the seed chapter. And if you ever have any doubts, because it's gotten so, I won't say complicated, but it's gotten so in this day, at that time, it was pretty simple. There was Cain and Abel, and there was two choices. You can do it this way or you can do it this way. And so, but now there's thousands. There's literally thousands and thousands of ideas. There's thousands. We read sometime back, Brother Branham said, our way of salvation. Our way. That's what God revealed today. Well, there's just literally thousands and thousands of ways of salvation today. What people are telling you, how you can be saved. And so there's that old idea that all roads lead to God. All roads lead to heaven. They don't.
That's right.
They don't. There's only one. There's only one that leads to God, and that's the one we want to be on.
That's
So we would put those things before you, ask you would be in prayer concerning those things. And now I want to go to the scripture in Joel chapter 2. This was a prophecy. This prophecy, and I'm not going to, part of this prophecy was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And so I'm not going to go there, but we know that there was a former and latter rain. It was in two parts. But then there was also a promise that in the last days that the former and the latter rain would be poured out at the same time. They would come in the same time. And so that was going to be a double portion. That was going to be a double portion of the same thing. So here, there was a pouring out of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And so I want to read that in Joel chapter 22. This is the prophecy. This was the promise. This was spoke by the prophets long before. Long before. I don't know how many hundreds of years or a thousand or whatever it was. But this was spoken by Joel, the prophet Joel, and then it was going to come to pass in future days. And so once again, I'm kind of concentrating on the young people as I was on Sunday and tonight, and again, maybe the next service or two. I want to hit on the messenger to the age and why we have him, why we believe him, why we follow him, some of those things. So let's just read here. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fruit tree, and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And so, you know, there's a lot. You could spend a lot of time on these things. Brother Branham took a lot of time, and he broke this down, how that where the word had come forth, and then there was a falling away. And these insects were, they're a continuation of the same one, and they're eating the plant, and eating it, and eating it, and eating it, and just one after another, and each phase of it, just like the four horse riders, just like how Satan come in to destroy, and as Paul promised, there would be a falling away. So all of those things are to take place, and so the promise was that he's going to restore, that he's going to bring it back. And so that's what Joel is talking about, and that's what starts at Pentecost, is there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God, and then the word comes forth for that day, and then there begins to be a falling away. And that falling away takes us into the Dark Ages. And as it goes into the Dark Ages, the seed goes into the ground, and it dies. And Brother Branham said, it can't just die, it has to rot. That means it has to be completely finished, done, completely done away with, and then that life will come back in a resurrection. And so that's what happened. And so it went into the ground, and even during that time, the saints were being persecuted and put to death. They were given their life, and so it was just a lot of bloodshed, a lot of death. But then there, God began to bring forth the word once again. And he began to bring it forth in Luther. And the thing was, it was just a little bit of word. It was just a little bit of revelation that he had. But for where they were at, for with all of these great churches, these great powerful churches, the Church of Rome, the Church of England, these great powerful institutions, they had such a hold over the people that to speak against it was just death. And that was a marvel in the days of Luther that people feared, because they could die for doing what he did. Yes, sir. He not only did it, but he did it over and over and over and over again. Right. So it showed that it was time. Because you can't do those things. See, if he had done that just 50 years before, when they were slaughtering all the Christians, he'd have been slaughtered. Right. But now, Something has happened. Now the spirit of the age. And Brother Branham said every age, the spirit of God comes on the scene to manifest the promise of that age. And so that's what happened. When Luther came out and he began to fight against it, the power of God was there to give him revelation a little bit, and stand against that powerful beast. And so that was a great marvel, a great thing that was taking place. And so Brother Branham talks about these things coming through the ages, and he preached on it. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass. Now, this is our scripture right here. I could have just read this, but I wanted to lead up to it. And it shall come to pass afterward. Now, it's after these things now, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, that's a big, big prophecy. Because that's not just saying I'm going to pour out my spirit upon my prophet or upon the elect or upon this group or upon that group. This, God is saying, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Yes, now, that's a big statement. Yes, that's a big statement when you think about it. Mm-hmm. He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And you can take those things back. And remember, we're talking, we have talked over time about Christ coming out of the church. During the church ages, from Pentecost on, the church, the seed and the false vine and the true vine, they were together. They were right there mingled together. They were growing together. The seed had been planted, and now they're coming up together in the church. And they were in the church. And so that mingling there, the scripture said, shall we go and separate them? Just like talking about at the beginning. He said, no, let them grow together. Let them grow together. And at the end time, I'll send forth the reapers. And they will separate. They'll separate. And so that reaping, the reapers came in this day. And the word was put forth to separate them. That's what separates. It's always the separator is the word. And so in this last day, when the word began to come, it began to separate. So that's exactly what was happening in Luther's day. Is that right? Yes, sir. When Luther began to preach, then the people began to say, hey, all of these indulgences, all of these lies, they're telling us that this bread is the literal body of Jesus Christ. They're telling us that this wine or this juice, it's the blood, it's the literal blood of Jesus Christ. No. They knew what it was. It was a representative of it. But it was not the literal. And so everything they were doing was in, they were trying to make it literal. They were spiritualizing everything, and it wasn't true. It was just a bunch of lies. And so the same with imparting eternal life, the same with forgiving sins. The priests were doing these things, and they were selling these services. You give so much, and we're going to forgive your sins. We're going to do this. We're going to do your people died, and they were sinners, and they went to hell, but you'll pay, and we'll pray, and you burn the candle, and you do this, and you do this. And it was just all lies. Right. And so Satan had brought them through all that time and been building and building and building and breaking them down. Yes, but now it was time to go the other way. And so it began now, the word, there began to be a resurrection. Yes. And that resurrection was life, was coming into the seed. And the seed is the word, and the word began to open up and to become known to the people. And so it was a great time. And God's promising, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. See? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And so, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. So now this, if you say all flesh, you're not just talking about men, are you? Right. No. You're talking about all flesh. You're talking about the men. You're talking about the women. You're talking about the sons. You're talking about the daughters. Yes, sir. All flesh. So now if you're talking about all flesh, you can't just be talking about the elect.
Right.
Huh? No. You're talking about the non-elect. Right. You're talking about all of them together. You're talking about all the churches, all the religions, all of them together. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's a powerful, powerful statement. And God always fulfills His word. Always. See? And upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days, I'll pour out my spirit. Praise God. So, as we know, the servants and the handmaids, that's your helpers. That's your slaves. That's your indentured servants. That's everybody. Is that right? So not just the boss, but the worker. Huh? Not just the master, but the slave. Everybody. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon everybody. And remember, there's a law of God that always, always stands. No matter what's going on, when God's doing something, Brother Bam said, God has a law that every seed will bring forth of its kind. So when He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, that seed that's in there only going to bring forth of its kind. Whatever's in you, that's what it's going to manifest. When that seed comes upon, it's to quicken. It's to quicken and to prove what's in there. Is that right? That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
And so that makes sense with the day and the age that we are in. That in the last days, He's going to separate. So when He pours out His Spirit upon all flesh, and if the seed of God's in there, it's going to bring forth the word for the age. And if the seed of God's not in there, it's going to bring forth something different.
Right.
It's going to bring forth the children of Satan in manifestation.
Yes, sir.
So it's a separation. What was the separation? It's not some man standing up there and divine say, well, you're a really good person. You come on this side. You're not such a good person. You go on that side. No, not like that. No, it's what's on the inside. It's God that's doing the separating. It's God that's quickening the seed. It's God that's bringing it to manifestation. Brother Branham said, people don't realize they're being judged right now. Right now, they're being judged. The decisions you make. When you're sitting and you're listening to the word, you hear the word, you read the word, however you, whatever relationship, however you and God are communing, whatever you do with that communion, whatever you do with that word, God is the word is judging right then.
Yes, sir.
So if you're saying, you know, I know that that's right, and that sounds right, I see it, I know the prophet said it, but I don't think it's a big deal. Huh? I don't think that's such a big deal. Now, remember, it's the little thing. Brother Man said it's not the big things you do, it's the little things you leave undone.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Because if we're going to talk about our life, then we have things every day we face. We make decisions every day, every day, every day. We're making decisions. And so those decisions have to be based on the Word. They have to be based on the Word.
Right.
And so this woman who just lost her husband, within just a few days of his assassination, she stood before the world. That was broadcast worldwide. And she said, I forgive that man. Mm-hmm. I forgive Tyler Robinson for taking the father of my children and my husband. I forgive him. And a lot of people are saying, oh, that was great. I don't know if I could do that. You probably won't know it until it happens to you. You might not know until it happens to you. But if you're a seed, if God proves that seed in there, then you can be sure you'll do the same thing. Is that right? Why? Because that's Christ in you being manifested.
Amen.
So, if the scripture says, love your enemies. Mm-hmm. Now, it's so easy to love our brothers and sisters, isn't it?
Yes,
but to love your enemies.
Right.
That's a little bit harder thing, isn't it? Especially when they're doing you wrong. So then what we have to do, and this is what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said that we're one big happy family. And he said, Satan is not going to let it stay like that. Huh? Satan's not going to let it. Said Satan is going to come in and poison somebody. Right? And he said, don't you take sides with that. Don't you take sides with that. Said, you pray for that person. You pray for that person that that spirit gets out. Don't let that cause a division and then you start having problems with this one and that one. I don't like what this one did. I don't like what that one said. I don't like this. I don't like that. If we're going to stand and say that we love our enemies and we can't get along with one another, are we Christians? Huh? That's right. It's something to think about, isn't it?
Amen.
If we're going to say, and you look sometimes, I've seen families that a child can love everybody, just be friends with everybody in the neighborhood and can't get along with their brother or sister. Now you put that in the spiritual.
Right.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's real easy when it's the other guy.
Right.
And that's something that Brother Gumba brought a few years ago. And he really drove it in really well. Because it's easy to say, they done me wrong. They owe me an apology. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
If I did you wrong, I owe you an apology. Is that right? But do you know what the scripture says? If you know that your brother has aught against you, if you know, then you go to your brother and you tell your brother, you tell your sister. Huh? You say, no, 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 no. They did me wrong. Who's the Christian? Huh? Where's the life of Jesus Christ? It's easy to talk about it. It's easy to say, I love everybody. It's easy to say, I would forgive the killer. I would do this. I would do that. And then we can't get along with one another.
Right.
Something's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Right. Brother Branham said, when Satan comes in, start praying.
Yes, sir.
Start praying one for another.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Satan is wants to do is to get us one with another talking against the other one.
Right.
And that's not God.
No.
You say anything you want, that's not God.
Amen.
That's not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And the terrible day of the Lord come. So that, and that, let me just tell you, I ran across that because I was looking for, I wanted to read Malachi 4 and bring in the prophet at the same time. And this word, the terrible day of the Lord, is the same word in the Hebrew. The same word in the Hebrew as Malachi 4 and 5. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. It's the same word.
Mm-hmm.
See, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And so Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, I want to read this scripture too, for once again for the young people. This is prophecy. Joel 2 is prophecy. It's God saying something he's going to do.
Right.
Okay? God's telling something he's going to do in the future. And so if we read our Bible and it's so easy to say, yeah, I believe this. I know this is the Word of God. I know that that's God in word form. And then these things that's written in here, you don't believe it when God's doing it. So then you don't really believe what the Bible is saying. You're just reading something and say, well, that was a good story. That was a good book. That's what people are doing. Millions and billions. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked. Now, unless you're a farmer, or been a farmer, or been around a farm, you don't get the significance of that. Ye shall grow up of calves of the stall. You on the farm, those that are in the stall, they get fed the best. They get fed the best of everything. The others are all out in the pasture and they're just making it off the grass, doing the best they can. But when you bring one up to the stalls and you put them there, it's because you're going to feed them corn, you're going to feed them grain. They're going to eat really good. Say if you have one that's been sickly or something is wrong, you put them in there and you're nursing them up and they're just being fed so good. They always got water right there. They get some medicine. Everything's just so good. Life is good. Life is good. And so he's telling you, you're going to grow up as calves of the stall. Everything, I'm going to prepare everything for you. I'm going to give you everything. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. For behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So there, he's talking about, now we're at the end time. And this scripture now, and Brother Branham divided. He divided Malachi 3 and Malachi 4 to tell us that this Elijah in Malachi 3 was John the Baptist. This Elijah in Malachi 4 was William Marion Branham. He was the prophet of this day. And so then he showed us that the spirit of Elijah was promised five times in the Bible. You've seen it on Elijah himself. And then the spirit, a double portion of his spirit, you read this in the Old Testament, came back upon Elisha. The promise was given to Elisha, said, I want what you've got. I want it. And I'll do anything. I'll surrender my life. I'll do anything. I want it. And so Elijah said, if you see me when I go up, you'll receive it. And so all day long, he followed him and he followed him and he followed him. And at every turn, Elijah tried to get him, said, you just wait here. I'll be right back. He said, I won't leave you. I won't take my eyes off of you. As the Lord liveth. And so this scripture, Brother Bram pointed out, in chapter 4, we have, it says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the world would burn as an oven. So this was not in John's day. This could not have been John. So you go over to Matthew chapter 11, chapter 17, and you see Jesus having the conversation, and they said, why did the scribes say that Elias shall first come? And he said, truly, he shall first come. But I say unto you, he's come already. And so we didn't know. People took for granted that he was talking about the same coming. But the prophet comes along and says, no, he's talking about two comings. He's talking about that coming in that day, which was Malachi 3, and he's talking about the future coming, which was in the last days. Yes, and so Jesus being the Word, he knew. He knew how to rightly divide the Word of God. Amen. And so he said, yeah, he is truly, he's coming. But I say he's already came. The Spirit of Elijah. Verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. And so I put that word in there. I took it out of the lexicon. And it says to be fearful, be dreadful, be feared, to cause astonishment and awe, to be held in awe. And Brother Branham asked that question in the Church Ages book. Do we recognize the presence that we are in? Do we recognize, are we in awe of what God has done in our midst in this day? Do we really appreciate what God has given us? Or has it just become common and just another sitting in church? And that's what's wrong. We got billions of people just sitting in church. In the message, we got millions of people just sitting in the church. And it's just becoming a form. It's just becoming a pastime. That's why Jesus said when he came, it was a stink in his nostrils. God wants it to be something sweet.
Amen.
He wants it to be a sweet savor unto him. And the only way it's going to be, the only way your life is going to be that sweet savor is when that word is living, alive, manifested.
Yes.
Not a put on, not a hypocrite, not an imposter, not anything else. It's when that life that God has anointed your life and God is vindicating that he chose you and that he's in you and that he's accepted you. Not because we accepted him, not because we chose him. Brother Bram said, no. That's the idea of another day.
Yes, sir.
That's the idea people had in another age. That, oh, I got to repent. I got to accept God. No, redemption's been revealed. The book of redemption's been revealed.
Yes,
and when it was revealed, it revealed that you didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
That you didn't choose him. He chose you.
Amen.
That's why he said it's not written epistles, read of all men. He said, turn it around.
Right.
Epistles that have been written.
Right.
You were written before the foundation of the world. To inspire reverence and godly fear, awe. That's right. See? In the message, Second-Handed Robe. This is 1956. And I've already taken a bit of time, but I'm going to try to put some quotes in here. Here, some time ago, some girl was fooling around with the radium. She actually worked, I think, in a clock factory. And when she was putting the things on, you know how sometimes you'll lick your finger to make something stick and put it on there. And so I think this is the same as a few other stories that are out there. And so he's saying she would dip it, paint the uranium hands on the watches. And I have some on this one. And a girl made a mistake and took the brush and stuck it in her mouth. Okay. And it killed her. And years and years later, they took a microscope and they put it on the skull of that girl and they could still hear the radium going on, brr, brr, brr. It's endless. It keeps working on and on. There's no stopping it. See? And oh, brother, if radium has that kind of an effect, endless, how much more will the endless, eternal, supernatural, all-powerful, all-infinite, almighty God.
Amen.
Huh? He has to have the same effect as he started. He has to have it all through. That's right. If it was life to Abel, it's life in this day.
Amen.
If it was life in the beginning, it's life in this day.
That's right.
If it was death for Cain in that day, it's going to be death in this day. That's going to be the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. The same results for the same actions. See? Or he's not the almighty, all-powerful God. He's still waiting for somebody with a burly faith that'll step out and challenge the enemy on the basis of his word and say that it's so.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
That's right.
Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. This is what God wants every one of us here tonight.
Right.
And his bride around the world, in every nation, in every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue.
Yes, sir.
He wants a burly faith.
Yes,
That means a tough faith, a rugged faith, weakness, no softness, none of that stuff.
Amen.
Want someone to stand up without any doubt.
Yes. Amen.
How many knows who William Seymour is? William Seymour is the black man that was the son of a slave in the early 1900s, 1906 to be exact. He was 34 years old. And he was invited to Los Angeles to preach. And he came to Los Angeles. And he came to this woman's church. I believe she was a black woman. And he was given the pulpit on the Sunday morning, and he began to preach. And he began preaching something that God had anointed him to preach. The power of God had come on him, and he began to preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of tongues, speaking in tongues, being one of the evidences of the Holy Ghost. And he began to preach that. And so he came there for a month-long revival. And so he preached one time, and they kicked him out. They locked the doors. And they said, we don't want this, we don't like this. And so all the churches, the big conventions, the big church conventions, whatever they call that, like the Southern Baptist Convention and the Pentecostals, and he really was the one who brought Pentecost back around for the second round. And so so when he showed up at the church the next Sunday, the church was padlocked. This woman had padlocked the church, and he couldn't get in. But there was a brother there, something, Edward Lee, I believe was his name. And so he felt for him, and he invited him home. And so all of this was creating a great stir. A great stir. Just preach one message. And there's a great stir. And I got a point I want to make. Because he wants this burly faith.
Right.
This man had, God had quickened something. Remember now, he said he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
All flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now this man has been quickened, and he sees in the word that the gifts are coming back. He sees in the word that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is coming back. And do you know that this man had not yet experienced it? And that's one of the things they was holding against him. He had not yet spoken tongues. He had not yet had this happen to him. But yet he knew it was there. How about that? Huh? That's when you know that God is leading you, God is pushing you, that God's in control. I want that. I don't want the false doctrine. I don't want no lie. But I want to have that kind of faith.
Yes, sir.
That I know that God promised to do something, and God's going to do it.
Amen.
And so this, he began, he went into a series. And I think he was on a 10-day fast. And he was in about the third day of this fast. And so there was this guy who invited him into his home was actually the first one. It wasn't him. It was this guy who had brought him into his home, Edward Lee. He received it in one of the services. And so the next service, he began testifying. So within just a short time, there were six more people in the church, in the group, because people were coming. This thing was drawing people because the Spirit had been poured out. And something was happening. It didn't matter that Mrs. So-and-so there who owned the church, you're not coming to my church. I own this church. And so you just take your little idea somewhere else. So she just put a padlock on the church. What I'm trying to figure out is why she wasn't in there preaching. Somebody wasn't in. Okay, fine. I don't like what you're preaching. You mean you got a church and you're not going to let nobody preach? That's what's wrong with people. Yeah. If that's a false preacher, get a preacher. Get somebody in there. You got a place where you can be preaching and you're just going to padlock it up? That's what's wrong. It's that kind of attitude, that kind of thing is what's going on.
Yes.
Worldwide.
Amen. Yeah.
So within just a few services, six more people. Now that's seven people now done received the speaking in tongues, received the Holy Ghost. And so now this guy, he's in his third day of a fast and he prays all night long. He says, Lord, I'm the one came here anointed to preach these things and I don't have it. And here I see it now and they're testifying, they're receiving it. And he gets it. He was the eighth one. What kind of faith is that? Huh? You're preaching something you haven't yet got. But you know that it's there. You know that God promised it. That just stirs me up. And that's what this message is to us. We know. We know. You say, I don't know what those seven thunders are. I don't know that. I don't know that. But you know that it's there. And you know that He promised it to you. And you know, and you're going to read it, and you're going to pray, and you're going to listen, and you're going to ask God, I know that's for the bride. I'm looking for that.
Amen.
I want that revelation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And you're not going to be satisfied until you get it.
Amen.
I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and all flesh anointed. And going this way and that way and this way and that way.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it caused a lot of confusion. But it also, it poured out on the bride.
Yes, sir.
And when it gets on that elected seed, it's going in the right direction.
Amen.
It's going in the right direction then.
Yes, sir.
God's doing something. The problem is, that predestinated seed now is manifesting, begins manifesting the true word. Right? That's how it always is. And so now they can't, all of this confusion and all of this anointing and all of these false doctrines, they don't know who's who. No. Brother Branham said, they won't know. He said, when it came in this day, in the bright age, he said, they won't know. No, they're anointed for something else. They're not anointed for this. They can't see this. The word can be right in their midst, just like Jesus walked right through them. And they didn't know who He was. You can walk right among them and they don't know. What happened? As soon as the great healing campaign started, then thousands of soldiers of God's men who laid back in little churches like Oral Roberts and Tommy Hicks, many other outstanding men on the field, they pulled their swords and away they went. Praise be to God. What's He talking about? From 1933, the pillar of fire came down. Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Not talking about Azusa Street. I'm not talking about that Pentecostal revival.
Right.
I'm talking about when the prophet came on the scene.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the Spirit had been poured out. No doubt about that. But now the prophet comes on the scene. And the prophet is the divine revealer of the Word.
Yes, sir.
What happened to Azusa Street? What was wrong with Azusa Street? They went right off into tongues being the evidence. And that's not according to the Scripture. It was a great outpouring. There was healings. There was miracles. There was great things taking place. There was anointing. There was people, they got him a little building just after that, after what's-her-name locked the doors. They got him a little building. And actually at first, the crowd got so big, they had to go outside of the church and get in the yard. Because it was so powerful and there wasn't room inside for all the people. So they went outside in the yard. That's, you know then that God's working on you. And now I'm talking to these people raised in America now. Because to go outside, they can't even imagine it. 40 years ago was my first time in India. They cut off some palms and some bananas leaves, how big they are, and they put up four posts and they put a few sticks across the top and they laid those leaves up there to make some shade. And they were just out in the middle of a field. And we're coming up to that and I'm like, I ain't never seen anything like this in my life. Yeah. And years later I was in Kenya, was way out over to Brother Siingo's place over there, and they had all the people gathered there, and they had a place for the preacher. And it was just like there was four little posts, and it was about this big, just maybe 3 by 3, 4 by 4, something like that. And you just go inside there and sit down, and they had a place for you to put your Bible. And I thought, I'd rather preach there. I'd rather preach there than in one of these big temples or big places where people are hungry for the Word of God, where people are wanting the Word of God. You know, that's the same thing that Wesley went through. You know, Wesley went through the exact same thing. The first time somebody invited him to preach outside. He was everything was prim and proper. Everything was just right. He had the education. Wesley was the son of John and Susanna. And they had 19 children. Do you know that they all died in as babies, I think, except 9. I think only 9 of them lived. So it was hard times. It was hard times. But do you know that mother at 5 years old, when they turned 5, then she began to teach them. She taught every one of them. Every one of them knew Latin and Greek. She taught them that, along with their English, along with their Bible studies. She taught them that. And so when they came up, they were very proper. Wesley was very proper. And so he never fathomed preaching outside. And the first time, it was almost a sin to him. That's his words. So it was almost a sin to him to go outside like that. He couldn't imagine that. You know, in those days they had these big, big buildings and stuff and everything. And said the first man that was able to get him outside, he said the crowds that were coming were people that were hungering and thirsting for God. And he said it had such a profound effect on him that he just embraced it. At first, he took it almost as a sin. He just couldn't imagine it. It just wasn't in his comprehension. And then, after he seen God's results with those poor people out there like that, he fell in love. And I think they say he put he traveled mostly by horseback, but he traveled by ship. He traveled, he walked, he did everything. I think they say over 250,000 miles. 250, no car, no motorcycle, no scooter. Over 250,000 miles. Preached over 40,000 messages. Sound like burly faith to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sound like somebody that had a desire to serve God. Their whole life was surrendered to God.
Yeah.
Paragraph 31. And now what happened? As soon as the great healing campaign started, thousands of soldiers of God's men who laid back in little churches like Oral Roberts and Tommy Hicks, many of the other outstanding men on the field. Were they all preaching the same doctrine? No. But God poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. Is that right? Upon all flesh. And God had started a healing revival. And these men were inspired by it. God sent the prophet out, and people were seeing it, and some of them were imposters, some of them were different things, some of them were genuine. And they began to go around the country, around the world. That began a worldwide revival. Listen, young people. When God poured out His Spirit according to the prophecy, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, God promised to bring that messenger on the scene, and He did. And God sent a gift upon the earth. And that gift was a gift of healing to go around the world. And before that prophet ever left his little town, when his preacher told him, "You can't go, you're no good, you can't do it." I just found out today what a rascal his preacher was. You know that? You know that Roy E. Davis had been in prison? You know that he was a scoundrel? Do you know that he was a swindler? That he was false checks, fraudulent checks, and this and this and this and this. You know that he became the imperial wizard of the KKK? Yeah. Everywhere he went from state to state to state, running from the police. Left his first wife and three children in Texas, where he was, I guess, born and raised, where he started at. Left them, went to Georgia, got him another wife and had another child. Left her later on. And he married her, married twice, and you can't do that in America, so that was another strike against him. Then he ends up, and he's almost, so he hits Jeffersonville about 1930. That's just right, isn't it? 1930. The prophet is right there, primed, almost to 1933 when he's going to get his commission. Okay, so now Roy Davis starts this church in Jeffersonville, Missionary Baptist. Another place that was a Pentecostal Missionary Baptist. And variation of names that he had for all the different places. But they were chasing him all over the country. And he had three or four brothers, and they helped him in the fraud. One time they were starting charities and getting people to give the money, and then they would take the money and run. And the guy was just a crook. He was a really bad guy. But he also was powerful. Bring him to the pulpit. Bring him to the pulpit. He was a preacher. He wasn't just a Klansman. He wasn't just a criminal. He wasn't just a white supremacist. Look him up. That's what he was. He was a preacher. An anointed preacher. Why? Because the Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. Huh? He was a powerful preacher. And he could go in somewhere and preach. And then the police would catch up and say, oh, you did this and this and this. And he'd start saying, no. And the people would stand with him. Huh? Why? He was a powerful preacher. Easy to deceive. Easy. Brother Branham said, that's what's wrong. He said, if somebody comes in and they're praying for the sick and people are getting healed, he said, people just flock. And then it becomes, after a while, you start overlooking. They're doing this. They're doing this. They're a little bit off on their doctrine. They're a little bit off on their life. A little bit off on this. A little bit off on that. Let that word be number one. Let the word be number one. Then the miracles. Then the healing. Then all the rest of it. Whatever it is, let it be. But put it in its place. This great healing campaign that went around the world, it was to get the attention of the world because the Spirit had been poured out upon all flesh. And now that the Spirit's poured out, now the Word begins to come. Right. And the seed hears the Word and says, oh, that's the one. Yep. I got my choice here. I got Billy Graham and I got Oral Roberts and I got Tommy Osborne and I got A.A. Allen and I got Tommy Hicks and I got this one and I got this one and I got this one and this one. And there was even some women in there too. There was a Hutchison. I think during the peak of this great healing revival, there was like 49 great healing preachers going around the country. And within a few years, when it started dying down, there was just a few years after the peak, there was like 9. There was a lot of, we're talking about preachers with ministries. But those people with ministries, they came from nothing. They were just nobodies. A lot of them, they were just nobodies. But the move of God had came on the scene. The Spirit of God had been poured out. And it inspired them. It was inspiring people all over the place. And everybody was just moving by the Spirit. God was doing something. Amen. I tell you, I had a new respect this morning. I was reading that about William Seymour. And I got a new respect for him to know. And that's one of the things they held it against him. You're preaching something you ain't even got yet. Brother Branham said, the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she will be quiet. If she don't have it, she's not going to impersonate it. She's not going to pretend it. She's not going to make it up. She's going to wait because she knows the voice has spoken. She knows that God has spoken and that God's going to reveal it. And so she just quieted. This one's saying, oh, I think I know what it is. It's such and such and such. This. See, that's what happened way back. And I don't know what year it was, But that's what happened back in the 70s or the 80s. 70s, I think it was in the 70s. Yeah, they couldn't get those seven thunders. They couldn't get it. They kept waiting on it. Brother Branham said it was there. So what did they do? Now, nobody, they were just in disarray. And just like 20 years later, they're going to all start going back to Pentecost. Why? Because where's this rapture at? Where's this rapture at? But they had, and I'm trying to think of, I think it was Coleman. I think Coleman Group in New York. Okay? So what they did is they called in seven men. They brought in seven men. And those, yeah, those are Thunder Brothers. And so they called them in and they preached. Each one, first night was the first thunder. And then the second and the third. And what did they do? They took it back and preached the virtues. And they brought it that way. And so that's not it. That was already preached. That was preached before the seals. Before the seals. So, but what was it? They knew it was there. And they wanted to do something about it. That's not bride. The bride's going to wait. The bride's going to wait because the bride knows God's going to do it.
Amen.
And if it's not in here, if it's not in here, and you know it's not in there, then you need to get down and ask God to put it in there.
Yes, sir.
And let that be a reality so that when you look at this message, you look at this Bible, you see yourself.
Amen.
That's what it has to be. That's when you can forgive your enemy. That's when you can love your enemy. That's when you can do those things, is when you know that what you're reading is in here.
Yes, sir.
And you can't make that.
Right.
You can't impersonate that. You can say the words, you can read it like a newspaper, but no, it to be the life, God has to anoint that thing in you.
Amen.
God has to make it real. They pulled their Bibles, their swords, and they walked out when they seen that it could be done and beat the enemy by the grace of God till the whole world had a healing revival. Praise be to God. Little pastors who had little 2x4 churches and so forth caught fire and seen the vision, jerked the sword and went forth and defied the enemy. How do you know it'll work? There's great men. Congressman Upshaw, King of England, huh? Many great men lay sick and afflicted, healed by the power of Almighty God. And he told them that our prophet, William Marion Branham, told them. He told Roy E. Davis before he went everywhere. He said, God told me. Not even a sixth grade education. Don't even have a church. He's not a pastor now. He's just a lay preacher under a pastor who happens to be a crook. And what does he do? He says, God told me, I'm going to pray for kings and I'm going to pray for potentates. I'm going to pray for great people. God is going to send me around the world.
Yeah.
He's not saying I'm going to do anything.
Right.
He's saying God said.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. William Seymour, he took it right out of Acts chapter 2 and he read it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told them, and out of Joel 22, he read it to them.
Amen.
He said, God said it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't have it yet, but God said it.
Amen.
If you aren't where you know you need to be, then start getting there.
Right.
Don't sit down and get slack and just say, Lord, if I'm one of them. No. Just let the Spirit in you build a fire. Build a fire. And kill your ego and kill your pride and kill everything that's holding you back.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I had a man call me the other day out of the blue. And he said, Brother, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been going through so much. And he said, it's just been a struggle. And he said, and we already had some disagreements on the word. And he said, I just feel like I want to call you and humble myself. And he said, If there's anything between us, if there's anything I've ever said to you, anything that I've done, I want you to forgive me. If there's anything, brother. He said, I feel like there's something missing in my life, and I want God to be pleased with my life. Amen. And the scripture tells me, the prophet tells us to humble ourselves one to another.
Amen.
Not lift ourselves up, not be somebody great, humble ourselves. And I said, brother, I've done nothing but admire you. I said, we've had a little disagreement, but that God will get us there. God is giving us day by day,
amen,
opening this thing.
Amen.
We have the same desire, and that's to please God, to ask God for revelation.
Amen.
And I had a really good conversation with the brother, and I thought, God, let me have that. Let that.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong. Brother Branham said, this is quote. Brother Branham said, we need a humbling.
Yes.
A humbling.
Yeah. Huh?
We need to humble ourselves.
Amen.
If we don't, and there's a seed in there, God is going to humble us royally.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's going to be a lot easier if we'll humble ourselves. If we're going to just keep that pride up, keep that ego up, keep those things up, don't worry. If you're a child of God, God is going to bring you back down.
Yes, sir.
And if you're not a child of God, then it don't matter. You can just keep your ego and keep your pride, keep everything. But I don't believe there's any of that sitting here. I don't believe you'd be sitting here if there wasn't something inside you,
amen,
that wants this message, this revelation, this precious life, this kingdom. Amen. Now my time is up. I didn't get very far, but let's just finish this quote here. Paragraph 32. Then when Elijah, after his whole heart's desire was to get that promise, he wanted the promise. That was his motive. I started reading this, I said, boy, this sounds like Jacob. This sounds like Abraham. This sounds like Moses. This sounds like every member of the body of Jesus Christ. That's right. That's your motive. That's your objective. That's what you want. Huh? Your whole heart's desire to get that promise. He wanted the promise. That was his motive. That was his all. That was his life. That was his intent. Everything hung on getting that promise. I'm persuaded to believe that we're not sincere about this thing that we're talking about. See, if your whole motives this morning rest upon giving God praise for my healing, huh? For my salvation, for my life, for everything, for every day that He has given you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
I was thinking a while back, and I do this when I'm praying. A lot of times we pray for our children and we say, Lord, bless them, help them, get them here. And then sometime I just stop and I say, Lord, I don't know. I'm asking you to bless them, and that's all you've done is bless them. I said, you've blessed them over and over and over, and you heal them when they're sick. You've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this. And I think sometimes we just need to be saying thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you, for what you've done. He knows what we want. He knows we want that soul. He knows we want them to have that revelation. He knows that.
Amen.
And while we're waiting on that, we're just asking Him to bless, 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 bless. And that's all He's done, is just bless them. And no matter what, He's so good.
Amen.
See, I'm determined to be healed by the power of God. I'm determined to live a Christian life. I'm determined to walk in peace with God. I'm determined to do it. See, I don't care what mother says, what the church says, what the pastor says, what anybody else says, what the world says. I'm determined. That's the singleness of my heart. We're going to get somewhere then. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Amen. When we get there and we don't want nothing else but just Him,
amen,
Him, Him, Him.
That's right.
When we want Him more than anything else, then you can be sure it's going to do something. That spirit in you. God poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. And the anointing was everywhere. And the move of God was everywhere. And they were doing great things. And they were there was healings. And there was miracles. And there was great things that was taking place. But it came to a time when that revival died. That revival, it started dying down, dying down, dying down. And then there was a real quiet revival. And that revival, Brother Branham said in the fourth seal, he said, the bride has not had a revival yet. And then he come over to recognizing your day and its message. And he said, there, Brother Moore, there at the tabernacle in Shreveport, he said, they have that, what's their newspaper? I can't remember the name of it. But he said, all they put is fast pray, fast pray. We need a prophet. We need an awakening. We need this. We need a great awakening. And Brother Branham says, what's wrong with them? He said, they have failed to recognize the awakening of the bride.
Amen.
When in the fourth seal, when he said the bride hasn't had a revival yet, he also said the bride was not awake yet. I'll bring it. I'll bring it. I'll read it. But in recognizing your day, he said, they have not recognized the awakening. Because the call went out. The Spirit was poured out, and then the word, the shout. And then that mighty angel came down. And he began to speak. And brother, sister, that's our revival. That's our revival. Is the seven thunder mysteries. It is the presence of God. It's the coming of God. It's entering into that presence. It's entering into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We're going to ask you to stand together, brother. You'll sing a song. Guide us in something. Praise be to God. So do continue to remember Sister Esther and the girls there. Remember Sharon. And God will just give her full deliverance. And we really are praying for her. And it just, you can't imagine how Satan, how hard he fights. In a situation like that. So just be in prayer for her. Amen. God bless you, brother.
The service was very anointed. And trust that you... Forgive me for that. Trust that you'll go back and listen to it. Don't let this be just tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Amen.
Go back and listen to it. It's on YouTube.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm behind on the website, and I'll catch that up. But YouTube links out there, go back and listen to this.
Yeah.
God spoke to every single person in this room and or whoever was listening.
Right.
He spoke to every one of us.
Yeah.
And,
hallelujah.
I appreciate it. It was for me. And talk about the burly faith, and, you know, it kind of made me think of a relationship between a husband and wife. Sometimes we go to town and man has got to run into the market for something. I don't want to get out. I was like, I'll just swing by and drop you off at the door and you just send me a text message, I'll come back and pick you up. But when she's in there, she gets approached by a man or somebody or whoever. I don't want her to be willy-nilly or be so, you know, pretend like he's making a pass or something. I want her to be strong and bold and say, no, my husband, I got him. You want me to go get my husband? I got him. He's right here with me.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to be bold. I don't want her to be shady and around. And that's God wants you to be the same way out of us. He doesn't want you to flirt with the world and be weak in this and be weak in that. God's given you the revelation. God has given you the strength. God has put his life inside of you to manifest it. And he's going to do it. And he is doing it.
Amen.
And it made me think about that. And another thing, talking about the brother, he was giving him a hard time about not having it or not having the experience that, and preaching about it. And made me think, that was everybody. Noah built an ark for 120 years before it rained. Abraham says, I got a son. He didn't have it in the first 9 months. He didn't have it in the first 9 years. He didn't have it in the first 19 years.
That's right.
The whole time. But he said, it's there. I've got the word. I've got the revelation. It's there. And then one day, talk about the man that was in getting healing. And he was late and went to the barber shop or was in the barber chair. I forget the story. Forgive me.
Yeah.
But it finally hit. And he went running out. He was healed the whole time.
Yeah.
He was just waiting.
Amen.
And another thing brought to me, and I'm sorry, I got out.
That's good.
Another thing that made me something to think of, you know, back when the Spirit began to pour out all the flesh and the Pentecostal move began to it made me think, and it's something that I've always thought about a lot of times, and I know it's might be a natural thing, but I want it to be applicable spiritually too, but when that move began, when they began to have them services day in and day out, night after night, there was such an anointing on that building or wherever they were at that there were people going to the fire department reporting that the house or the building was on fire. And they could walk outside the fire department and then they could look over there and they could see the glow. And the fire department said, no, that's not on fire. That's them preaching.
And I began
to think about that. And we all grew up together, and we all know me, and I know we've all had those little moments where that you know you run into somebody and they say they recognize that there's something different about you, but yet does someone just randomly does the Amazon guy or the mail guy when he drives by when he sees me, I'm not looking for some blow, but when he sees me, does he recognize something? When I'm walking through the supermarket when I do get out, or while I'm at work, do they see something? Mm-hmm. And it's not just on the flesh, but they feel a presence.
Amen.
There are good people, but a real, genuine, good person that has Christ in them, when you get in their presence, you feel differently in them. You feel different. And I want that. And I know you do too.
Yeah. Amen.
Sorry, had all them.
Amen.
It's the life behind the name. Can you see?
It's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's the life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. It was God who devised the plan.
Dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you all. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this day started with you, Lord Father, and you saw it fit that we may come here together to feed upon your word, Lord Father, and through that door, we came in hungering, Lord Father, for your word. Now, Lord Father, our hearts have been healed, Lord Father. each and every word, Lord Father, that was spoken here, Lord Father. It was not a man who spoke it, Lord Father.
Right,
we saw you, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for each and every word, Lord Father. Their brothers and sisters, Lord Father, Samuel, Lord Father, who are in trouble, Lord Father, who are in need, Lord Father, of your hand, Lord Father.
Mm-hmm.
They've cried, Lord Father, to their hearts, Lord Father. And you, Lord Father, while in heaven, reached out for them, Lord Father, and you saw them, Lord Father. You saw them through their troubles, Lord Father, and you brought them victorious, Lord Father, in the end, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for those brothers and sisters, Lord Father. And now, Lord Father, we pray that you may dismiss us, Lord Father, to our houses, Lord Father. We pray, Lord Father, that you may protect each and every one of us, Lord Father. Be the brothers, Lord Father, who are away, Lord Father, in every nation, Lord Father, every kindred, Lord Father. Bless their hearts, Lord Father. Lord Father, it's our prayer, Lord Father, that you may bless us. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe.
Amen.
Amen.